Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino on this hump day. It is a Wednesday afternoon coming to you live from the Giants facility in the middle of course, free agency. His team still wheeling and dealing, trying to get deals done to better their roster prior, of course, to the NFL draft that's going to take place the end of April down in Chicago. I'm actually going to be down there. I'll be down there for the entire week. We'll be at the first round on that Thursday night in Chicago. And then and then Friday, actually, I leave to go to the Kentucky Derby. Bucket list, what's up? So I'm really excited about being there. It's going to be interesting. You know, you're used to the NFL draft, of course, being in New York City.
Always.
Right? So always. It's going to be a little different. You know, not like in your own backyard, not at home.
Yeah, well, you know, when they moved the draft back into the end of April, Anita, they had some trouble with the scheduling. Radio City Music Hall's got the Rockettes going and all those holiday shows that they do. And so they had to figure out, well, what are we going to do? We're going to find a better date, or are we going to put the draft out for bid? And they put it out for bid, and so Chicago wins, and they get the draft. And I like Chicago, by the way. It's one of my favorite cities in the country. But I will be here at the Giants headquarters, minding my own business, trying to figure out who they pick with the ninth selection.
Well, I thought, you and John Schmoke, you guys do a show, an online show, right?
Well, there'll be an MSG show the first night of the draft. Usually Bob Papa hosts that with Carl Banks. And then on the second night of the draft, Schmoke and I usually host a show on Giants.com and take you through the Giants' second-round selection. I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't know if we're doing that again this year. I haven't gotten confirmation yet. I hope we are.
I'm sure you are.
But in any event, I will be here. Rest assured.
So so obviously the Giants with one pick in the first round, one pick in the second round?
Yeah.
Do you – I don't mean to put you on the hot seat. If you don't – what's the breakup? Do you know?
In terms of –
How many drafts they have per round?
They have one in each round.
One, that's it. Just one in each round.
Yeah, one in each round. Yeah.
Okay.
So they have seven.
Okay.
For the whole draft. Now, I think the thing that's interesting to me is going to be what happens, as we discussed the other day, in terms of if their value board doesn't really meet their need board very well. I had a conversation with an NFL personnel guy the other day, Anita, since our show on Monday. And he said to me, well, you know what? There are going to be a lot of teams that would love to get their hands on Cooper or maybe White. And he said to me, if I'm the Giants at nine, and we were just having a pleasant conversation and said, well, what if the two receivers are just so highly rated on their value board, like Beckham was last year?
We've talked about this.
Right. Do they do it again? What do they do?
Right.
His suggestion to me was there are going to be at least four or five teams that you know are going to be burning up the phone lines if those receivers, if one of them even drops, not necessarily even two of them, but if one of them drops to nine, the Giants are probably going to be getting a lot of phone calls at that point. And so maybe they're going to be in a position of leverage that they'll be able to make a trade, maybe move down a few spots and pick up an extra pick, maybe even a second rounder. That might be to their advantage. That's certainly a logical way to go, and it would be something in play for me, I think, if I were in that situation.
Again, this is a show for the fans. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. We monitor Twitter throughout the show, hashtag Giants Chat. We will share those tweets with you, whether they're questions, comments. By the way, like I said, I hate to put you on the hot seat. Phil Walsh is tweeting saying that the Giants have eight picks. They have two in the seventh round.
Two in the seventh. I got to check on that.
And they got one from Denver. That's what Martin is saying on Twitter. Just and that's my bad. I wasn't sure
no,
if
no,
you.
No. That's fine.
I just don't want you to get ripped here on Twitter because
you
didn't know exactly how many picks.
They made the trade for the kicker with the Broncos, and they were able to get that conditional pick, but I am not 100% sure. Here we go. New York Giants draft order. Let's see. We're going to confirm this. I have not gone all the way down to the very end of this draft. New York Giants draft order, draft picks. And we'll figure this out for you folks. Round by round. this is not working out.
What is that?
This is not working out.
Okay. Well, I mean, just...
Whatever.
I'll Google it. I'll Google
it. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. I know we've got a few calls already. This show, what I want to do, and we're going to have some fun with this today, and, of course, you've got March Madness that kicks off tomorrow, or I should say tips off tomorrow, and, of course, Friday, totally insane. Hopefully you've already gotten off of work.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
What?
It already started last night in Manhattan.
Not really.
Done.
Not
Manhattan
really.
Manhattan is done.
Manhattan is done. Ole Miss advanced. I get, but really, do you really count last night? Do you really count tonight? No disrespect. Those teams aren't going to advance.
By the way, it is accurate. 2 picks in the 7th round for the Giants. They will have 8.
There you go. Thank you for the tweet. So
yes,
the Giants,
sir.
The Giants have a total of 8 picks in the NFL draft. But again, March Madness, an exciting time. So what the Giants do? Go to Giants.com. It's pretty cool. They've got a bracket challenge based on some of the best plays that have taken place at MetLife Stadium. Of course, only 5 years old now. So what Paul and I are going to do is we're going to go through. There's 8 matchups. So throughout the show, Paul and I are going to go to each matchup, and we're going to decide which one we think should advance. Sound good?
That's fine.
Okay. So let's go. The first one is you got to vote either the catch, I actually call it the claw, with Odell Beckham Jr.
Indeed you do.
Or Victor Cruz splits the Washington defense for a dramatic win. Paul, you know where I've got to. How can you not go with the catch? Actually, this is kind of, to me, the catch is like Kentucky. Right? Like, who's going to beat the catch? I don't think anybody's going to beat the catch. So I'm going to go with the catch, but I'm going to make that analogy. The catch in this Giants bracket challenge to me is Kentucky. Tell me
I'm
wrong.
It. No, I like it very much. I will tell you, the Cruz catch against Washington is pretty good. I mean, it would be right up there and would survive at least a round if it wasn't going up against Beckham.
And just to share with you, the catch, 92.63% of the votes. There are 7.37% that have voted for Cruz. Who are those people? I want you to call into the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. And we'll touch back on pick number 2. Let's take some calls.
Okay.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Bob in Bloomfield. Bob, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live today.
Hi, how are you? I just had a two-part question. Thanks for having me first. I love the show, guys.
Appreciate it.
The question that I had was this. I was wondering, Jeff Schwartz had the injury last year to his toe, and when he came back to play, they played him at right tackle that one game, and the Giants ran the ball real well. He sailed the outside. When he came up for Kansas City, was he a tackle originally out of college and then moved to guard by the Chiefs where he played better? And do you think that he might be considered by the Giants as a tackle coming year?
The short answer to your question is that he's capable of playing both tackle and guard. His primary position, if you were to ask him this morning, would be right guard. That is his preferred position. That is his primary position. He is fully capable of playing left guard. He also is capable of playing right tackle if you need him to be. But I do believe that his mentality is to be a guard first.
Okay, and the...
Go ahead.
The other question I had was, do you have an update on Victor Cruz, how he's progressing?
No, the last I heard a couple of weeks back is that he was at a personal appearance. I believe it might have been for Play 60, Anita, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the NFL does all those youth programs with getting kids out with physical activities. And I understand he did something with them, and he looked pretty good and was walking around pretty well. But I don't have any medical information at all. I mean, he has said to the media himself that he believes he'll be ready for training camp. I mean, look, God bless him. I hope he can do it. But, you know, I think the Giants are going to be very cautious and bring him along as slowly as possible. They're not going to take any chances with him.
You know, it's a very interesting injury because there's no history here in regard to a wide receiver of his caliber and his success. And thank you for the phone call, by the way, Bob. Appreciate it. To have this type of injury where it's a torn patella tendon.
Right.
Now, I've had 7 knee surgeries, and 3 of them were ACL reconstruction. 2 of them, they had to take my what they do is they take a slit out of your patella tendon, and then they use that patella tendon to recreate your ligament. And your tendon is a lot stronger than a ligament. But since they did that twice already, they couldn't do it again because for me that's scar tissue. So
right.
The third time I had to use a cadaver. But where I'm going with this is my heal process was so much longer when they had to use my own patella tendon because I developed tendonitis in my patella. It's just it's going to be tough. There's no history here of a wide receiver.
Right.
To come back and be 100%. So I'm not doubting Victor Cruz at all. If anybody can do it, I have no doubt it's Victor Cruz. But keep that in mind. This isn't just a normal ACL, MCL. We've seen wide receivers. There's a track history there in regard to wide receivers who've come back from that injury before. So this is going to be very interesting. Obviously, I'm rooting for him. If anybody
sure.
can do it, it's Victor Cruz. And, you know, there's no doubt. I will say this. Like, I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that he'll be back. My question is, you know, will he be the same?
Right.
Will he still have that burst? Will he be able to still separate from the DBs in the NFL? Will he be able to – will his route running be as precise because of the planting and the – you know, that's really what's going to be extremely interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's really one of the keys for me in terms of giving a big thumbs up to the signing of Dwayne Harris, the Cowboys receiver kick returner as a free agent, because he does provide a very competent wide receiver to add to that depth chart if for whatever reason Victor Cruz does not come back being Victor Cruz all over again. And by the way, on the bracket challenge, you get a couple of Victor Cruz plays on there. I mean, I think there might even be 3 of them. Very deceptive speed. It's really fun to watch and rewatch some of Victor Cruz's big plays over the course of the last several years. He has been a thrill.
All right, here we go. Matchup number 2
yeah.
on Giants.com, the bracket challenge. Hopefully you've logged on. T2 makes the pick, or Cruz juggles the ball for the miraculous TD against Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about this one because Terrell Thomas had come back from 2 ACLs at that point, and he makes a pick against the Raiders and runs it back inside the 5-yard line when he gets tackled. And from an emotional standpoint, you love the fact that Terrell Thomas made a play like that after 2 ACLs. However, if you just look at the play itself as a play, he just undercut the route, and there was nothing really spectacular about it, to be fair. So, fans, it's going to be up to you whether or not you grade the athleticism of the route, or you just want to let your heart kind of do the talking, and you want to give Terrell Thomas the vote because you love the guy and you appreciate all that he went through to come back.
Well, that's you.
You know?
That's you, Paul. I know how much you really like Terrell Thomas.
Yeah, but you know what?
So,
I'd go the other way.
All right. So Cruz juggles the ball for the TD against Seattle.
The Cruz catch against Seattle.
Our vote is in. And guess what? 95%
yeah.
are saying that is the play that wins, that should advance.
It's a double coverage play down the right sideline. Cruz tips it up and catches it with his right hand, a one-handed stab out of the air. It's a really good play.
Again, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Monitoring Twitter as well, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's continue with Ernest calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, you're on.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Yes, yes. Find yourself. This is Ernest. One of the questions I want to ask is that Spagnuolo and the Giants are starting off on the wrong foot already. How can you let that Antrell Roe go? They have no safeties back there. Coughlin has 1 year left on. I mean, you know, he just signed a 1-year deal. So if you're going to the draft to try to do all that work, you still have the offensive line you still got to deal with. You have Beeson there. You don't know what he's going to do. So if you're going to try to have all these projects by trying to draft all these people, it's not going to work. We're going to end up just like we were last year or even worse. What are they thinking about?
All right. Well, Ernest, I appreciate the phone call. We'll let you go, and I'll give you an answer. First of all, Steve Spagnuolo does not make personnel decisions for the Giants. Jerry Reese does. So take him out of your initial comment because the coaches don't decide on personnel here. The makeup of the roster goes to the personnel department. So that's first. Second of all, in terms of what happened with Antrell Roll and Jerry Reese and their conversations, I wasn't privy to them. I know Antrell was a good Giant, a great Giant, a championship Giant. He expressed his desire to come back, and the Giants said that they wanted him back, and for whatever reason, the business deal did not work out. I will tell you this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just, did you hear what he said about why he chose Chicago? I guess at like 3 o'clock in the morning, he got some kind of like email or text message to his phone from Orbitz, the travel site.
Yes.
And it said, special fares, round trip tickets to Chicago. And he said, that was his sign. That was a sign from God. He knew that he had to sign with the Chicago Bears.
Did he really need the discount fare?
Because of the Orbitz text message or email to his cell phone at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I will direct you, and I think...
Don't take those things lightly, you know.
Oh, you believe in that karma stuff, huh?
I just, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck in your bracket if you believe in the karma stuff.
I'm winning this year.
Okay.
I am in it to win it. I spent all day yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Preparing for March Madness.
I see the blisters on your fingers from filling out all these things. Hey, look, one thing I do want to mention to you. Take a look at the New York Post story by Paul Schwartz today. He did a story talking to Nat Burhe, who is one of the two signed safeties on the Giants roster. And, of course, Nat, a very competent young man, last year played as a rookie on special teams, got in a little bit from scrimmage. Nat is telling people, don't worry about it. You know, don't look at that depth chart. It's fine. I'm going to be one of those safeties. And he's got a lot of tools. The Giants liked him a lot when they drafted him. He tends to be more of an in-the-box safety, more of a strong safety than a free safety. And I think it's entirely possible that, you know, when the smoke clears at the end of training camp, Anita, Nat Burhe could be the winner of the competition at one of those safety spots. In any event, he's confident about it. Take a look at Paul Schwartz's story in the New York Post, and you'll get a little bit of an idea of what he's thinking and how he's approaching this summer's camp.
All right. Here we are. This is choice number 3.
Yes.
Giants.com, the bracket challenge. Cruz checks the rearview mirror against Dallas.
Yeah.
On the big screen, of course.
Yeah.
And Big Blue D stonewalls the Atlanta Falcons on 4th down.
Well, you know, this is another very difficult choice because it comes from two different dynamics. The 4th down deal has to do with the playoff game against the Falcons, the only Giants playoff game at MetLife Stadium. And, of course, as you remember, they just stonewalled Atlanta in the second half of that game, totally shut them down, including, I believe, 3 4th down stops. This play is one of them. Well, as a whole, yeah, I would go there. But if you just look at the actual play itself, you know, it was the 4th down stop. It's a quarterback sneak on like 4th and 1. JPP comes in, short circuits the thing. I don't know that that's all that impressive compared
to Cruz checking the rearview mirror against Dallas.
And remember, that Dallas game was so critical to the Giants' playoff run. I mean, that clinched it for them.
No, I remember.
So it's hard for me.
And again, it's against Dallas.
I know.
So we're going Dallas.
You know where I'm going.
We're going, and 64% who've already voted to Cruz checking the rearview mirror against Dallas in the NFC to clinch the NFC over Big Blue defense stonewalling the Atlanta Falcons on 4th down.
You know what I remember most about that game with the Giants clinching the division against the Cowboys here at the stadium? I had to talk to guys on the field, of course, for the Channel 9 postgame, and I'm talking to Osi, and cried. Flat out cried. I mean, he was so emotional about winning the division and against the Cowboys in front of the home fans, realizing, you know, what that had meant for the team. Good stuff.
201-939-4513. Let's go line 2. Dan's calling in from the Poconos. Dan, what's up?
Hey, love your show. Hi, Anita. How you doing, Paul? It's a pleasure to talk to you guys.
I almost spent New Year's Eve in the Poconos. I couldn't find a house that I really liked.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
I think I started looking a little bit too late, and you know, I needed like a 20 bedroom, like hot tub, all that. It was a whole group of us. Couldn't get it, so ended up in Philadelphia. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like another conversation for another time. I'd be willing,
yeah, the parade down there, the murmur, what was it called? The Murmurs?
The Mummers Parade.
The Mummers Parade. Yeah. That's a bucket list thing. Anyway, what's your Giants question?
Well, I wanted to kind of touch on a couple of things. I wanted to actually disagree with one of the prior callers. I think we are addressing our needs, and like Jerry Reese has said, and we've always agreed, everyone at least, that so many times that your answers are right there on your roster. You know, we're going to give this kid Burry a chance and win on the defensive line. And I think that, again, you know, the injury thing, if we could stay away from injuries, just boost her up that, you know, in a perfect world, I want Sheriff as our number one pick on that offensive line. And, you know, if, you know, God willing, we could stay away from the injuries, I see our offense being, like, awesome, you know. And I think we could, those points we were putting up the last six games, right, we put more, in 50 years in Giants history, I forget the exact stats, but we put a certain amount of points up consistently. I think it was six games in a row that we scored over 30 points or something. And it was like, you know, I don't care if it was at lesser talented, you know, opponents, but, you know, I think we're looking pretty good. I don't know if it's just foolish optimism or – I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, here's what I will say, and Anita knows me very well when I talk about this. Unless the offensive line is fortified to where the Giants can have a consistent running game, especially a power running game, this offense will probably never reach its full potential. They've got to get that thing solidified, and it's not there yet.
Right.
But I like what you're saying, because the weapons are there. There are a lot of good skill position players on this team.
Hey, we know what happens when Eli has time back there. We know what he does. And with the weapons we have, you know, hopefully it's all about that offensive line. But we're going in that direction. So let's people have to have patience. And, you know, they know what they're doing.
Hey, thank you for the phone call. You know who I ran into here at the facility just now? Why am I drawing a blonde moment? I pay a lot of money for this hair. I'm entitled to one a month. Tom Coughlin's son-in-law.
Snee?
Yeah, Chris Snee. Ran into Chris Snee. He's lost 80 pounds. Didn't even recognize him. Paul, he looks amazing.
Saw him during the season.
80 pounds.
Melting away.
80. Unbelievable. He looks tremendous.
Good stuff.
Didn't even recognize him.
You know what's funny? Over the years,
I should have invited him to pop on the show with us.
I have found over the years, linemen,
I'm an idiot,
tend to lose weight after they retire because they don't have to keep all the bulk on. They're not in the trenches anymore. And I find that a lot of the skill position guys, especially running backs, tend to gain weight. And you don't recognize them for the wrong reasons because they're just really big by the time they get a couple of years out of the game.
Right.
But, yeah.
I dated a basketball player in college who was just typically, his metabolism was, like, off the charts and ridiculously thin. And he played forward. So he used to set his alarm at 1 o'clock in the morning and then again at 4 o'clock in the morning to wake up in the middle of the night and eat pasta.
Wow. How about that?
Right? Can you imagine? You're forcing yourself to eat. Meanwhile, I try to diet. Could you? I mean, you know, it's just it's unbelievable, and I believe a lot of football players have to do that as well.
Yeah.
You know, those that have like high metabolism want to keep the weight on, especially the long grueling season, how physical it is, the physicality in it. You know that they have to eat large amounts of calories every day.
One of the guys on the team right now who's having trouble with that is DeMontre Moore. They really want him to put on 15 pounds of bulk so he can be stronger at the point of attack. And, you know, he has a lot of trouble keeping the weight on.
So what he needs to do is make these big casserole dishes filled with pasta and then set his alarm at 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. and
manja.
Wake up and eat it. I wish I had that problem. I'm the opposite. 201-939-4513. Here's a tweet, by the way. Hashtag Giants chat. Is Kenny Phillips still in the NFL?
No, I think Kenny Phillips is done. Now, let me just take a quick glance. Whoa, look. That's what the internet is for, right? Kenny did sit out for a year. Oh, let's see here. NFL.com has him with the Saints. Now, maybe they're bringing him to camp.
He is listed right now on NFL.com with the Saints.
And is Will Hill still with the Baltimore Ravens?
No, my understanding is Will Hill is a restricted free agent and at the moment does not have a location of employment. Whether or not they bring him back, I suppose, remains to be seen as to whether or not he signs his tender or somebody else, you know, tries to make a pitch for him.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's continue with the calls. We go to line three. Tyrone is calling in from Maryland. Tyrone, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
I have a question for you before we talk football.
Okay.
How far does Maryland go? Do they beat do they beat West Virginia or Buffalo?
You know what? I got them beating West Virginia. I like Maryland in the Big Ten this year.
But they can't get past Kentucky, right?
Well, you know, anything's possible. You know, March Madness is March Madness for a reason.
Do you have them? Do you have them upsetting Kentucky?
Currently, no. Not right now. But, okay. You know, my bracket may change in the future.
Okay.
So, you know,
you don't have much time.
All right. Let's talk some Giants. What you got?
All right. First of all, I wanted to touch a little bit on free agency. I like the Shane Vereen move. I see an Earth, Wind, and Fire effect coming back into the Giants with Shane Vereen, Williams, and Rashad Jennings. I like that. I like the Devin Harris move as well, even though we kind of paid him a little bit more money than I expected us to. But still in all, we did need a return game, especially with Kendon Holliday going down last year, not playing a single game for us. That was surprising. But as far as the safety position, I do understand that we have a significant need in that position, and I'm a little disappointed in not signing Raheem Moore. I understand that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes, as well as Nate Allen. I like him as well. But, you know, a guy that's still out there who intrigues me a little bit is Taylor Mays. Now, I understand he's been a bit of a disappointment since coming out of USC, but he's still a young and a strong, good hitter in the NFL. And, I kind of like him back there in a Giants uniform just to see what he does. We can sign him to a second-tier 1 year, maybe two, and, you know, just to see what happens. And
well, here's the thing that I just looked up now as I glance at his resume. Started six games with the Niners as a rookie back in 2010, but since that time has only started four games combined. I mean, one would think that if he really had some potential, by now that potential would have come to the surface and he would have started more games for the Bengals, don't you think?
Yeah. Do you think that has something to do with injuries or just the inability to play in a system?
In three of those 4 years with Cincinnati, including last season, it says he played and appeared in 16 games. You know? Now, the year before that, 2013, bless you, he only appeared in eight games with one start. So perhaps there was an injury factor there. I'll be honest with you, he's been under my radar. I have not talked or looked at him at all. He is an unrestricted free agent, so he's available. I mean, that much is true. But the resume is not exactly impressive.
Right. I agree. As far as the linebacker position, I like the JT Thomas addition. I'm not too sure about the other linebacker position. I know he's a special teams guy from the Patriots.
Casillas.
I like it, but I really don't know too much about the guy. But if I'm understanding, Rolando McClain is still a free agent right now, and he terrorized the league last year. I know he was hurt for a few years, but when he came back, he was all over the place, especially against New York. And me as a New York fan, I can't stand Dallas. I never have. My mother and my sister are Dallas fans, so you can only imagine. Yeah, you can only imagine how I'm feeling. I'm usually in my room when those guys play. Everybody else is downstairs.
Good move by them, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to let you go, but I would tell you this. The Giants have a middle linebacker right now who they think is going to be okay, and John Beeson coming back off injury again. And then on the inside, if they need to extra depth, you know, they're looking at the potential of Jameel McClain. Again, he might have to go back in there if they need him. Or, of course, I still think there's a chance that Devon Kennard may wind up playing some middle linebacker before this whole thing is over with his career, because I think he's got that kind of versatility and the skill set to be able to do it.
All right. Again, log on to Giants.com. It is the bracket challenge that is taking place right now. Paul and I going through the matchups. Here's the next one. Manning and Knicks, first TD at MetLife Stadium. Or Blackburn picks off Aaron Rodgers days after signing. Keep in mind, Chase Blackburn was sitting on the couch on Sundays, you know, making dip and drinking beer and hanging out and watching football, comes off the couch, signs with the Giants, and picks off Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, you know I'm a big Chase Blackburn fan. I have to go Chase here.
Oh, and I'm with you, because it was 4 days after lounging on that sofa that he wound up undercutting a route underneath on his own and picked off Rodgers. And who could not be happier than everybody who knew Chase Blackburn, because he's such a good guy.
63% agree with us.
I'm totally on board with
that. And are voting for Chase Blackburn in this bracket challenge. So we will continue. Where are we? We're matchup number 5 now. Paul, we're halfway done.
Okay.
All right.
You want to go one more, or you want to go back to the tweets?
No, I like
Okay.
I like weaving it in between
That's
the
right.
calls and the tweets and
I got you.
Having
keeping
some,
me off balance. Right?
Always.
That's all she ever does.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to Virginia. Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Gary, you there?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi.
All right. Again, because I've got to get ready for tomorrow. You're in Virginia. I have to ask you.
No.
Virginia, are they going to beat Michigan State to advance in that East region?
Yes, I would say yes.
Really?
That's what I picked. Yeah.
Do you have them winning that East? Are they beating Villanova, NC State, maybe Oklahoma?
I went with Villanova, mainly because everybody around here is going with Virginia, just to be different, I guess.
Okay, interesting. Good to know.
I think it's a close call between the two.
Good to know. What's your Giants question or comment?
I had a couple. One was I heard Paul saying that we only have 7 picks.
No, it's 8. No,
there's
2 in the 7th round. 2 in the 7th
round.
It's
8. Paul stands corrected on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we lost David Wilson, I was wondering how that supplementary pick worked. I thought we'd get something for that loss.
No. The NFL's compensatory picks, it's a complicated formula. Only the league knows it, believe it or not. I mean, nobody else seems to. And it's based on the free agents that you sign and the free agents that you lose. David Wilson was a guy who was forced to retire because of injury. He was not signed by anybody else, so he will not be calculated as part of the compensatory pick formula.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Okay, and the other thing was, I think, as far as I know, Hakeem Nicks is still a free agent, right?
Yes, he is.
I'd love to see. I know I like the depth we have now, but I'd love to see Hakeem Nicks come back. I don't think he'd be as expensive as he was when he left, since he didn't have a very good year last year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to ask my partner here, because I know she follows all these things with fantasy football, and I appreciate the phone call. Hakeem Nicks had more than ample opportunity last year when the Colts wide receiving corps started going down with injuries to step up and to become one of their go-to guys. He did not do it.
No, he did not. And keep in mind, I mean, he's got Andrew Luck as his quarterback. Interesting what's going on with the Colts now. They bring in Andre Johnson. Now, it'll be a true test to see, right? Andre Johnson is going to play that void that I think Hakeem Nicks is leaving for the Colts, because they do have some young, exciting Dante Moncrief. I love saying his name. T.Y. Hilton. They've got a young, exciting wide receiving core. So Andre Johnson, arguably a number one with the Texans last year. They had DeAndre Hopkins.
Sure.
But now goes from, let's say, arguably a low-end one and a two with the Texans to a 3 on the Colts. And, of course, they sign Frank Gore. You know that story there, right? Frank Gore reports were that Frank Gore was going to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Well, apparently, Andre Johnson, keep in mind, these two, they played at the University of Miami together. Andre Johnson pretty much reached out to Gore, texted him, and said, hey, don't go there. Come with me to Indianapolis. Play with me at the Colts. Apparently, Andre Johnson was on the flight with Gore as he flew to Indianapolis. Gore got his deal done first, and then Andre Johnson did.
Kind of like Bradford apparently also helping out DeMarco Murray's choice going to the Eagles.
So those University of Miami guys sticking together.
Yeah, I know. I know. The U, I know.
The
I hear,
U,
I
baby.
Hear about it
the
all
U,
the
baby.
Time. All the time I hear about it. I just want some of the temperature from the U. That's all. 34 degrees outside.
So, hey, I can't help it. My dad played for the U. When I was born, my parents lived in married housing at the University of Miami.
I get it.
So my nursery had like it was all Cane stuff. Like I was raised in that.
It's cool.
It's a Canes thing. You wouldn't understand.
I do get it.
Let's talk about some tweets that are out there. This is from Dean. He wants to know, realistically speaking. He prefaces, of course. How do you see the Giants splitting the carries between the running backs? And, of course, we're talking about Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, and then now the addition of Shane Vereen.
I think it will probably be something in the neighborhood of, well, we're going to assume everybody's healthy, right? Isn't that part of the deal here? We're going to assume everybody makes it through the whole season okay. I would say probably somewhere in the vicinity of 60 to 35 to 5 in the order of Jennings, Williams, and Vereen. I don't think Vereen's going to carry the ball a whole lot. He's going to be used much more as a passing target by Eli Manning.
Right. Here's a tweet from Nick. Wants to know, what about bringing Cofield back? Need depth at defensive tackle? May still have some tread left.
Ooh, let me just see for a second what his numbers were last year. I know he is a free agent. The Redskins have allowed his deal to expire. I don't know what his numbers were last year, but I'll be perfectly frank with you. I don't remember him really having much of an impact there because, remember, he was hurt for a good part of the season. In fact, only started three games, you know. Look. Big Barry Cofield fan when he was here. But remember now, he is several years removed from being that player who the Giants knew. In fact, again, 4 years with the Redskins. I think the Giants, in my mind, Anita, if they're going to add a defensive tackle to the mix, it's going to be more of a plugger. I mentioned Vince Wilfork the other day as somebody who I would have put a phone call into. He wound up joining the Texans the other day.
Right.
Just after we talked about it.
Right.
Again, He's in that 330, 340-pound range. Cofield, even right now, is only 6'4", 303. Cofield was more of an athletic, finesse defensive tackle. He was not a plugger. So I don't think he fits what the Giants would be looking for.
All right. Again, we're trying to steer people to Giants.com for the Bracket Challenge. Paul and I, we've already gone through four of the matchups. We have four remaining.
Have we agreed on all four?
I think so.
Yes, we have.
I believe we have.
Yes, we have.
All right, so this matchup has JPP calls his shot, scores on a pick six.
Yeah.
Against David Wilson and with that 97-yard kickoff return.
Yeah, well, you know where we're going.
Yeah.
And especially if you know anything about her. David Wilson's kickoff return.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So
that's
easy. This is kind of boring that we're in agreement here. But how about this? This is probably one of the closest that we've clicked on of yet. 52%, almost 53%, 52.9% say Wilson over JPP. JPP has 47%.
I'm a little surprised by that one because, the Giants have been hurting for return guys for so many years. It's been a sore spot with this franchise for a long time. Every once in a while they come up with a guy, but consistently it's been a big, big issue. And here comes David Wilson, who explodes onto the scene, and specifically as a kickoff returner, he was just so, so dynamic. So it's hard for me to think that people would not have been blown away and been impacted by what he did. But nonetheless, that's a close vote.
201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get on board. Let's go to line one, Tyrone. Tyrone, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thanks a lot. Let's talk draft, guys. First to fourth round, okay? First round, I think, should definitely be designated for an offensive guard, offensive tackle, unless we have somebody like a Vic Beasley or Randy Gregory that's still on the board at number nine, okay? I like Brandon Scherff at guard. I like Andrus Peat at tackle, even though he needs to maybe work out his legs a little bit more. He's a tall tackle, and he may be getting pushed. He got pushed a lot in Stanford, and that's a bit of a concern for me. But Brandon Scherff, I like him at tackle, but more so at guard, even though that we have a left guard that's still open, and the rest of our line is pretty much intact. We're adding depth to it now. I like the Newhouse addition as well. And second round, I like Landon Collins at safety, or more so a Shaq Thompson. Seems a little bit more athletic than a Landon Collins. You know, he looks like a ball hawk, like he'll go after the ball and maybe return it for a touchdown, because they know he has some running back experience. He has some linebacker experience as well. Maybe he can be like a Troy Polamalu type of safety for us, maybe put him at free safety so we can range around a little bit. And the third round, you know what? I like Omawabe Odighizuwa. I like him a lot coming out of UCLA. I don't know if I said that right.
Close enough.
But yeah, I think he's a good compliment to JPP on the other side. You know, when we won those two Super Bowls in 2007-2011, we had a fierce defensive line rotation. I mean, we had maybe 5, 6, 7 defensive lines coming in every so often, and that disrupted the quarterback in the run game a lot. Now, Odighizuwa, even though he's coming off an injury last year with those two hip injuries, at 260 and 6'3", he could terrorize the line. He really could. And I like him a lot. You know, he ran a 4.6, high 4.5, 40 at the combine this past year. And I like him a lot. Now, fourth round, you know what? I like Devin Funchess. He reminds me a whole lot of a Plaxico Burress coming out of the draft at 6'5", 230, 240. He played tight end a little bit at Michigan, but he slimmed down. And I like him in jump balls. I like him in the red zone. And I like him in a deep ball kind of guy. You know, not a lot of people can jump with a 6'5", 230 kind of guy. And he likes to dip his shoulder a lot, too. So that's a lot of the hard-nosed kind of football that the Giants have been missing for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you guys think about either him or going with somebody like maybe a Devin Smith from Ohio State?
Thank you for your phone call, by the way, Tyrone. Obviously, you're doing a lot of homework, getting yourself ready for the draft. I'll say this about Funchess, and I'm a big Michigan fan. I watch Michigan as much and as often as I can on Saturdays. Put me out of my misery this past year, but nonetheless, did not really do well in the 40. I guess his biggest knock is that he doesn't have wide receiver speed.
Right.
But how do you see him translating to the NFL? Does he have tight end size?
Well, for me, it's going to be more about his route running because of that question about his speed. If he reads defenses well and can pick them up well and then do what he's got to do to sell his routes, I still think he can be effective because he's just not going to do it with pure athleticism. I can see why there's a bit of a knock on him for that. The one thing that I want to say to the caller, and you know, you talked about Thompson. I think Thompson's a strong safety in this game. Some people think he's an outside linebacker. I think he's a strong safety. So I think the Giants are probably more in need of a free safety than the strong, if you believe that either Taylor or Burhe are going to stick and be one of the starters. The only other thing that I would say to him, Anita, and this is very, very dangerous because we've talked about this before, when you decide that you're going to slot positions into rounds, you're really then throwing away that value part of your board.
And it sounded to me like he was committing certain positions to certain rounds. I need an offensive lineman in round one. I need a safety in round two. I need, you know, a defensive end in round three. If you're going to start doing those things, you're going to be going at it from an entirely opposite direction than the way that the Giants usually draft. So I would caution you from thinking in those terms.
All right, here we go. Again, Giants.com, their bracket challenge. We're on to a next matchup that we have to make a decision on. Hopefully you will as well. Hickson makes the circus catch against St. Louis, or Boley scoops and scores against Pittsburgh.
Well,
Paul,
Hickson,
I'll leave this up to you.
Well, Hickson sacrificed his ACL for that touchdown, beat former Giant Craig Dahl in the end zone. I'm kind of partial to that play because I had the radio call, so I'm going Dominic Hickson.
Okay. Of course you are. And 73% say Dominic Hickson as well,
yeah,
over Michael Boley with the play.
Yeah, Hickson was a pro's pro. And, you know, after the Giants had a year with the Panthers, a cup of coffee with the Bears, and I believe he's now retiring. A good guy, really, really good guy, and was an asset to this team. One of the few guys in the last 30 years the Giants have had who was a bona fide threat as a kick returner.
All right, let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dre in Atlanta. Dre, you're on board.
Hey, what's going on, Nita? What's up, Peter? How you doing?
Hi.
Now, after careful consideration, we may need to go ahead and take Shaq Johnson now since he's a tweener. Since he's a linebacker, runner back, safety, you know, bring him in and see what we could do at safety in the later rounds of the draft and see what happens if he's still there available. I see he'll be one of our fourth-round gems. And, you know, with Spagnuolo, maybe able to cultivate him into, you know, playing that position in safety, you know, if you want to do one of his little quick NASCAR packages.
Push the pause button for just a second, if you will. Did you just say fourth round for Shaq Thompson? Fourth?
Because pretty much from what I'm reading, not too many teams know exactly where to plug him in at.
Well, that's going to be a debate that will last throughout the course of training camp for whatever team grabs him. But there are some folks who think he's such a terrific athlete that he could be a second rounder. So if you're going to wait till the fourth, I don't know that you're going to get him.
Do you think we will wait to? Do you think he'll be there when we pick in the second round? Because right now I'm glaring.
Well, the Giants are going to remember. Giants picking ninth, so they're picking high. So do I think he'll be there? Yeah, I think he probably will high in the second round. Whether or not the Giants take him, look, again, a lot of that depends on what are your plans for a guy like that. Anita knows I'm not a big fan of tweeners. I don't like these guys who you can't figure out where you're going to play them. I want to draft a guy who I can say, hey, you know what? He does this, 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 and this really, really well. I don't have guys on my team who can do this, 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 and this. So he plugs in and does what I need him to do. I'm not too cool on bringing guys in through the draft and then trying to figure out, okay, where does this piece of clay fit? That's not my mentality.
But if you bring him in with the idea that this is where you want to place him and he has the skill set to play that particular
position.
Well,
again, how many teams right now have a concrete idea of where he's going to go? I think what's going to happen is you've got a bunch of teams who really don't know. And you may even have a team that winds up drafting him. And let's say he drops Anita because he's such a good athlete that, you know, on the value board, he maybe is a second rounder for some team. And now all of a sudden it's the late third round and he's still not gone. Somebody's going to say, look, this kid is a really good athlete. He's a really good value. And he's still sitting there. We're going to have to take him. And we don't even know where we're going to play him, but we'll figure it out later.
Right.
I mean, that could happen.
Absolutely.
Right. I appreciate you taking my call. That was a shot in the wind. Where would I go?
So not thinking that he would. In fact, a lot of the responses on Twitter was pretty shocked, thinking no way that Shaq Thompson lasts until the fourth round.
He'll
definitely be gone before then.
His athleticism kind of dictates that someone is going to have him high enough on the value board that he's not going to be there in round four. Anyway.
So let me ask you this, because, again, we talk about how it's like, what, it's mock draft 3.0 right now. By the time the end of April rolls around, it will be 7.0.
Okay.
How often is your kind of thought process changing as well in regard to the all the film that you're watching and all the research you're doing?
Well, what happens for me, how I go through this process, and maybe you folks don't care, you could be bored with this, but how I go through the process, I will start first right after the All-Star games, the college All-Star games, and I will look at those very carefully. And I'll see guys in those college All-Star games that I'm very kind of on my radar. Then I'll also start making calls around the league. And I'll start compiling names and guys who are like, I think, you know what, these guys are going to be worth more research. Because I think they could probably fit into a position where the Giants are thin. I try to concentrate on the positions where I think the Giants are thin because, after all, I cover this team. That's what I do. So I'm not going to be looking for a quarterback. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense for me to waste time on a quarterback.
Right.
And so as we get into the month of March.
Although when the Giants drafted
Nassib,
that was a surprise.
It was.
Right?
Oh, it sure was. But I do think that they like him enough now that I don't expect them to be looking for anybody else. So we get into the month of March, and so now I'm starting to cross-check and go back and now go a little bit deeper past the first two rounds, and I'm going a little bit deeper into some of those thin areas the Giants have, and I'm trying to figure out guys who may be there at the start of the third day. And so I'm trying to find as much film as I can. I'm making phone calls, trying to find out about injuries, things of that nature. And so what will happen is as we then get really into April, which, of course, remember now, the draft is the 29th, right? Is that the first day? I believe it's April 29th. As we finally get to the first day of the draft, you know, we get into the last 2 weeks. Now it's like, okay, who do I really want to narrow it down to? And what I wind up doing is, Anita, I'll do what the Giants do, and I'll say, okay, here's a cluster of four or five guys that I really think have a chance to be there when they pick. And I think that these guys probably could fit a need. And then I'll project with, hey, these would be the guys I really think, you know, should go there for the Giants if they're there. And that's basically how I do it. But there's a lot of hours go into this.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get in. I have to address this because this dude, he tweets every time I'm hosting the show. His name is Joey, and he says, Anita's not taking any more calls. Can't risk going over the hour. Dude, I'm not allowed. Like, we're told the show has to end at 1 o'clock. So, trust me. Like, I'd love to sit here and talk Giants and talk football for 2 hours.
Okay.
But will you attest to this?
She's 1,000% right. We're given a, like, time frame, and give or take a few minutes.
Give me a break, Joey. This isn't. I'm not. You know, it's not like I'm rushing off because, like, I want to go shopping or something. Like, I'd talk football as long as I can. I'm being told 1 o'clock. I have to shut it down.
Yeah, that's.
Give me a break, man. Give me a freaking break, dude. How about this? Because we've got to get through this. Giants.com bracket challenge. Victor cruises by Jets for 99 yards, or Hakeem Nicks flies past the Falcons in a playoff game?
One more time. It's it's Nicks. I didn't hear the first one.
It is Victor Cruz,
yeah,
against the Jets.
Well,
that's
where we're going.
For 99 yards?
That's where we're going.
Or Hakeem Nicks. All right. So you're going Victor Cruz against the Jets for 99 yards.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going Cruz.
85%
okay.
Agree that Victor Cruz,
okay,
cruises by the Jets for 99 yards.
Very good. All right. We are getting an advisory. Speak of the devil.
Okay.
That even though we're about 3 or 4 minutes early, we do have to close up shop. We got some technical issues here. Guys got to get into the studio and do other things that they got to do. You know, we got a lot of folks help us out here. It's not just us.
All right.
We got other folks helping us out, and we got to release them. That's what the technical folks are telling us. So that's going to do it.
All right. So hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. Really do appreciate it. Again, log on to Giants.com. Participate in the Bracket Challenge. Hopefully we've helped you out today. I will be back tomorrow with Lance Meadow right here on Giants.com.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.